Today, as we continue our Dream Big series, we're going to be talking about meeting needs in ministry and talking about servanthood. And servanthood in its simplest form deals with people. And at the heart of it is the willingness to go out of our way to meet the need of someone else or to accomplish something that needs to be done. True servanthood, as depicted in the Bible, is more than just a desire to do what is right. It's dying to our own self, dying to our own nature, and seeking out the needs of others and making a conscious effort to meet those needs. And we do that because our master is Jesus Christ, and so as his disciples, we don't exercise our own will, but instead we give it over to God so that we can please Christ. Near the end of his life, as Jesus is just hours away from his crucifixion, Jesus tells a parable in Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable of the sheep and the goats, and we've heard it shared many times. But at the heart of that parable is the importance of God's people seeking to meet the needs of others. Today I'm going to encourage you to dream big about ministries that help the hungry and the poor and the sick and the impoverished, those in our community who have tremendous need. Before we read these words, let me set this up for you. And keep in mind, this is, again, Matthew 25. Jesus is just hours, again, away from his resurrection. And he shares this very powerful parable we know as the sheep and the goats. So let's read this text, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, for a message entitled, Need Meeting Ministry. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The question before us today is, how do we dream big about meeting needs in ministry? How do we dream big about meeting needs in ministry? And so I think to begin with today, we need to look to Jesus himself. And that's our first point today, is that we need to let Jesus be our example. And Jesus is the perfect example of someone who met the needs of others. I mean, that's the reason he came to earth, was to meet our need for a Savior. But even more so, follow Jesus through the pages of the New Testament, and you will see him meet one need after another after another. Remember the story of the woman at the well. Her life was a mess. She was living in sin. She was without hope. She was a society outcast, and Jesus met her deepest need and changed her life, and she became a witness to her own town of his love and his forgiveness and his grace. Jesus met her need. Or how about the demoniac in Mark chapter 5? He was possessed by not one demon, but a legion of demons, many demons. And he was living among the caves out in the cemetery, ostracized from society, chained, and he was treated like a rabid animal. And Jesus healed him. And this man was so excited after Jesus healed him that he got in the boat to go with Jesus. He wanted to spend more time with him. And Jesus said, no, 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 you go back to your people, go back to your family. You tell them what the Lord has done for you. Jesus met his need. Or how about the woman who anointed Jesus' feet in the home of Simon the Pharisee? Her reputation was questionable. She was in a place where she did not belong. And yet Jesus praised her when she anointed his feet. And when he was done, he said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. He met her need. And even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was still meeting needs. Think about it. He entrusted his mother to the disciple John so that she would be cared for. He was meeting her need for continued care in his absence. And so he entrusted her to John. Or how about the thief who asked Jesus to remember him when he entered his kingdom? Jesus met his most basic need with those words today. You will be with me in paradise. And friends, not just the example of Jesus, these many examples we see in the Gospels, but the teaching of Jesus as well. Jesus said in Matthew 20, 26, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And after he washed his disciples' feet, what did Jesus say? I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus preached about servanthood. He taught about servanthood. He modeled servanthood. He is the perfect example of servanthood. He is an example both in word and deed of what it means to meet the needs of others in ministry. But there's a second point we need to make today, and that's simply this. To meet the needs of others, we have to look to the needs of others. In this parable that Jesus tells, he talks about sheep and goats. And Jesus used sheep and goats to picture the division between unbelievers and believers. Sheep and goats often grazed together, but they were separated when it came time to shear the sheep. The ones who are blessed of God and receive the eternal inheritance are those who think of others first. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. A stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. You see, friends, this parable describes acts of mercy that you and I can do every day. Simple things. These acts don't depend on the amount of money you have, the wealth that you have. They don't really depend on ability or intelligence. They are simple acts freely given and freely received. We have no excuse to neglect the needs of those who have deep needs. And Jesus demands our personal involvement in caring for the needs of others. The focus of this parable is clearly we should love every person that we can, and we should look to their needs and do what we can to meet those needs. And the good news is we can all do this. We can all participate. Jesus talked about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. When I was pastor at the United Church of God in Harrisburg 20 years ago, I had just arrived at the church, began serving as their pastor, when I learned that the members of their Cornerstone Sunday School class had actually started a clothing ministry. And why? Because they saw a need for clothing in the community. And so before long, they were collecting clothes and storing them in the church. And periodically, they would have the doors open and people could come in and receive clothes. And the ministry really took off. Before long, it was not just the Cornerstone Sunday School class who was doing this. The whole church was involved. And at Christmas time, when people would come in and take some clothes, we would also have groceries there for them. and Christmas gifts for the children that they could go and pick out. And what I loved best about this ministry was that each time we opened it up and invited the community to come in, our prayer warriors were there. That they could pray with people who came in, who obviously had great needs. Tremendous ministry that began because people saw a need in the community. And said, you know what, we can do something about this. We can make this ministry happen. One of the blessings of being a part of the Church of the Brethren is that serving others and meeting the needs of others, that's sort of in our DNA. It's in the DNA of who we are as brethren. Because think about it. We have Brethren Disaster Ministries, where volunteers from brethren across the country go to places and serve, meet the needs of others. Or how about Brethren Housing Association in Harrisburg? Look what they've been doing for years in meeting the needs of others. And people here still volunteer with that. But when it comes to meeting the needs and serving others on the broader scale, I think the Church of the Brethren really excels at this. But how about at the local church level? How are we doing at the local church level? What about here in our community? What needs are there in the community that we are maybe overlooking and not taking opportunity to meet? Our next point comes right out of Jesus' parable, and that is this. Recognize that in serving others, we are serving Jesus. Recognize that in serving others, we're really serving Jesus. And in separating the sheep and the goats, Jesus says the goats will be cast into eternal fire. Why? Because they ignored the needs of others. And they respond in verse 44. Lord, when did we ignore a need? When did we see you hungry or naked or thirsty or needing housing or sick in prison? When did we see you like that? And Jesus said, when you saw the need in someone else and you didn't meet that need, that's when you failed to be a servant. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You see, friends, in serving others, we're really serving Jesus. We are really serving Jesus. Dwight Day had been in a dysfunctional church in his youth. The leaders had disillusioned him by their exploitation of the people. He lost faith altogether and hadn't been in church for years. But then he made his way to Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And he found the Lord again, and he found peace too. Pastor Bob Russell there walked into the sanctuary one day and he saw Dwight Day scrubbing grape juice stains off the pews. Now, Dwight is a pilot for United Parcel Service and makes enough money that he could hire someone to do that task. But he volunteers to come in regularly to clean communion stains off the pews. Pastor Russell said, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And Dwight replied, after what this church has done for me, it's the least I can do. It's a privilege. The sophisticated pilot wasn't too important to clean the pews. You see, friends, nothing helps you grow like your Christian service. If you want to be stretched, take some time to visit a nursing home. Encourage some people there. Or teach a class of six-year-olds. You want to be stretched? Yeah, that'll do it. Go on a short-term mission trip. Volunteer to do a humbling job like cleaning communion stains off the pews in the sanctuary. What you do for others, you're doing for Jesus. So let's dream big. Let's dream big about ways in which we can serve Jesus by serving others. What needs are there in the community that we can meet? Who is falling through the cracks of our society that we can help? One of the greatest needs that I'm aware of, and I think Ken Rutt's aware of too, we both serve on Solanco Neighborhood Ministries Board, is the need for affordable housing here in Southern End. There isn't none. And there's homeless people who are trying to find affordable housing here in the Southern End, and Solanco Neighborhood Ministries feels like their hands are tied because there isn't any available. Is there something we can do to help meet that need? Because the need is out there. And it's a need, I think, that's growing all the time. How about a ministry to single moms, or a ministry to caregivers? Or how about a ministry to widows in our community who have needs at their home? What can we do to serve better those that we are neighbors with? How can we meet the needs of others? Because remember, when we meet the needs of others, we're serving not just our friends and our community, we're serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's dream big and put it on the board and remember that, again, we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. The last point I want to make today is this. We serve not out of guilt or a sense of duty. We serve out of our love for Jesus Christ. You know, for too long, the church has guilted people into serving. We have arm-twisted people into giving of their time and their talent to serve and to do things for others. We need to serve others because we love Jesus Christ, and by serving others, we are expressing our love for Him. There's a 19th century painting that shows a long row of beggars waiting in a soup line. They're all ragged and sleazy looking, but around the head of one, barely perceptible, is a halo. One of them is Christ. You may see no halo around the heads of your brothers and sisters in need, yet to serve them you serve Christ, for the King is hidden in them. While it is true that the type of service we are called to engage in is simple, that's not to say it's not going to cost us. It's going to cost us time. It may cost us resources. The acts which Christ mentions in this passage all have a ring of personal compassion and require more than simply writing a check to charity. The call of God is to simple service, to become personally involved in their lives. Yet many Christians, and myself included, we have resisted obeying this scripture, except for giving maybe a limited amount of help to our own family and friends. Don't forget the power of simple random kindness can make all the difference. We've all been there, we've all seen the need, but do we see Jesus in the other person? In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am a servant, they will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me." We serve out of our love for Jesus Christ. Not because we're guilted, not because the pastor's arm twisted us to serve. We serve because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe when we're serving others, we're serving Him. Let's put as much time and effort into dreaming big about ministries where we can be serving better. That's why we pour so much energy into our children and our youth ministries. That's why Combe is such a vital ministry to our community. That's why our deacons are always ready to serve. That's why we have benevolence funds to help people out. We don't have to meet every need. We don't. But let's partner with ministries that we can't do that are meeting needs in Jesus' name. Because if we love Jesus and we love serving others, we do so because of His overwhelming love for us. The story is told of a young boy in the ghetto, and he was being teased by someone who said, "If God loves you, why doesn't He take care of you? Why doesn't God tell someone to bring you shoes and a warm coat and better food?" And the young boy thought for a moment, and then with tears starting in his eyes, he said, "I guess He does tell somebody, but somebody forgets." I believe there are so many individuals that God places along our paths to help. And I believe that He has chosen us to be the answer to so much of the suffering that takes place all around us. And I believe that God will call us into account for those opportunities, those opportunities to bless others that we pass on. We say, let someone else take care of that. Let someone else help them. We'll be held accountable for that in the day of judgment. Friends, you and I are most like Jesus when we serve. And the church is truly the church when it's meeting the needs of others. Listen to these verses from Colossians 3, 23 and 24. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." In a world full of great problems, we might think that our small and personal service is not real meaningful. We might wonder if our service really makes any kind of difference at all. But simple acts of service done with great love, meeting the needs of others, I think can change the world. Ask someone who's been helped here by the ministries of Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother. Ask someone who's been helped by the Benevolence Committee. Ask someone who's been able to stay in our comb ministry because we supported the comb ministry when they were unable to afford the tuition. Ask the kids who will receive a shoebox full of school supplies because we took time in October and November to pack a shoebox and make sure they got to those kids. Ask third world children who are sponsored through Compassion International so they can go to school and get a hot meal every day. Meeting needs in ministry makes a world of difference if we are truly serving Jesus. But you know, even Albert Schweitzer, the great missionary to Africa, got discouraged. And he reported the following incident. One day, in my despair, he said, I threw myself into a chair in the consulting room and I groaned out. What a blockhead I was to come here and doctor savages like these. Whereupon Joseph, his friend, quietly remarked, yes, doctor, here on earth you are a great blockhead, but not in heaven. We may not receive the pats on the back. We may not receive the affirmations from others. We may not have feelings of accomplishment. But we know that we are making a difference. And the reward will come someday in heaven. So friends, let's keep dreaming big about how we can meet the needs of others. And I think I can all agree on this. We don't have to look too far to see the needs that are all around us. Friends, we are blessed to be a blessing, and we are most like Jesus when we meet the needs of others. Let me give you one final story. In a small Jewish town in Russia, there is a rabbi who disappears every Friday morning for several hours. His devoted disciples boast that during those hours, their rabbi goes up to heaven and talks to God. A stranger moved into town, and he became skeptical about all this. And so he decided to check things out. And he hides and he watches. Then the rabbi gets up in the Friday morning and he says his prayers and then dresses in peasant clothes. He grabs an axe and he goes off into the woods and he cuts some firewood, which he then hauls to a shack on the outskirts of the village. There an old woman and her sick son live. He leaves them the wood, enough for a week, and then he sneaks back home. Having observed the rabbi's actions, a newcomer stays on in the village and becomes his disciple. Whenever he hears one of the villagers say, on Friday morning, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven, the newcomer quietly adds, if not higher. Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. Let's dream big. Let's dream big about need-meeting ministries, things that we can be doing here at Mechanic Grove to meet the needs that are all around us. And remember, in meeting needs, we are most like Jesus, a servant to all. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus shared this very powerful parable, the last days of his life. Parable of the sheep and the goats that remind us how vitally important it is that we be a servant to all, that we seek out the needs of others and do what we can to meet those needs, and recognize that in meeting the needs of others, we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this church, your church here at Mechanic Grove, has a long history of serving and meeting the needs of others. But Lord, if there is more for us to do, if there is a ministry that we're yet to reach or to attain, Lord, we pray that you would make it clear to us. As we pray this week about need-meeting ministries, as we dream big, help us to see the needs of others and help us to be obedient to reach out and meet those needs. And in doing so, extending the love of Jesus Christ to others. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the challenge. May it resonate in our hearts and minds as we pray and dream big this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.